And a good Wednesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good start to your day. Happy hump day. Darren McFarland down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick is over in East Nashville, where I believe I've seen there's a Geno's East now that's in East Nashville. I'll have to confirm or see if Willie denies that in just a moment. Chase McCabe is out on the west side in Bellevue, while Elijah Campbell's back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Willie, can you confirm that, or are you denying that I read that wrong or saw that wrong? Is there a Geno's East in East Nashville, in your neck of the woods?
I'm going to have to do some research on that. I can neither confirm nor deny. I'm going to give you the Oliver North answer from the east side.
I will research.
I can tell you that there is a Chicago-style pizza joint in Germantown, one neighborhood over, right by the Sounds Park.
There's a Geno's East on 3rd Avenue.
There's one downtown. I know that, but yeah. I read where there's one in East Nashville. I may be wrong. Maybe it's just the one downtown. But that's what jumped out at me, that it said it was open. It had just opened in East Nashville. So
there was a time before the minor league park was finished for the Sounds, which was then called First Tennessee Park. The Predators broadcast crew decided to have a little luncheon, a little get together before the season started. Hey, let's all hang out. Let's do a little powwow, have some fun, socialize. We get to this pizza joint in Germantown, great pizza, Chicago style, and then in horror, we find out that it's the official watching place for Blackhawks hockey.
Oh no!
During the season, we have all the games. Come on out, watch your Blackhawks. And this is right at the height of their, Stanley Cup runs. The takeover of buildings across North America. The bandwagon fans coming out all over the place. And we were just like, we just made a bad call to come over. We got all our gold, shirts on, staff shirts, Predators logos. And they're like, hey, thanks for coming, guys. And I think it might have been like the year that they lost to the Blackhawks in the playoffs, too. We're like, what are we doing here? Blackhawks?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Well, we've had many spirited debates over the years on Deep Dish. Basically, New York or Chicago, right? Deep or thin. And everybody knows that, who knows me, knows that I am all for the deep dish. I'm all about the Chicago-style pizza. But that's why I was asking, because
You love the deep dish.
Love the deep dish.
Oh, it's strong. I got no problem with that. Full respect.
So I've never been to Chicago, which comes as a shock to a lot of people when I say that. I've never been to Chicago except for flying through the airports, and that's the only time.
Well, you don't want to fly through the airport. That would be dangerous.
Yeah, but I've been to Midway and I've been to O'Hare.
A small plane.
Yes, but you know what I mean.
Hand glider.
So I love pizza, though, and everybody has told me, like, oh, yeah, you got to go. You got to go to Chicago for the pizza. And then, I've been to New York, and it's been a long time, but I've had New York pizza. But you've now got me hungry, Darren. So thank you.
I know.
Thank you for starting off. May have to order a pizza for lunch.
So it is on 3rd Avenue, which is technically sort of east, but not. Okay. It's more downtown.
So it was
It's not really East Nashville.
So do you think what you read was Geno's East Nashville?
Maybe
that is how it appears when you Google it. Geno's East / Nashville.
Like, I knew of the one downtown. I was like, oh, they're expanding. Any chance they come to Rutherford? I got excited. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, they're coming. Are they going to come to Rutherford County? I was like, oh no, there's still the same location downtown. Okay, I read it wrong. That's error on me. Okay, I'm glad I asked.
This is why we're here to clarify. We're here to educate people.
Yep. We start on a somber note. Unfortunately, seeing this morning that Gale Sayers has passed away. And obviously, the three of us, he was before our time, but obviously we've talked to people over the years that were very familiar with Gale Sayers as a player and how incredible he was. I think he was the youngest guy to ever get into the Hall of Fame. That's how good he was. His career was pretty short, but yet that's how dynamic and special he was. I don't know how many people know this. This was, Willie, before you were in high school in Orlando, and I was in high school in Lexington. So neither one of us were living here at the time, but he had a short stint as either the AD or the interim AD at TSU back in the mid-'80s.
Man, really? I did not know that.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, he was at Tennessee State. He was either an interim AD or the AD for a brief, I think it was a year or two. It was a short amount of time.
Wow.
But, yeah, in the mid-'80s, he was an administrator at Tennessee State.
And
there's always a Nashville connection.
Can you imagine being at TSU and Gail Sayers as the AD?
I'm sure a lot of our listeners right now are old enough to remember him playing. I was not. By the time I started watching football, it was past his era.
Yeah.
But he's one of those guys that if you flip on an NFL Films highlight reel and there's any plays from the 60s, he's on there, right? He was one of those guys that just out of your chair excitement kind of runs, kind of player. And it is really sad that the injuries cut short his career. But, like, if you look at his career numbers, they don't really jump off the page because he, like you said, he just didn't have a long career because of the injuries. But still worthy of the Hall of Fame. I remember, I don't know what year it was. I want to say it was the early years of the Titans or maybe even when they were still the Oilers. He came through town for one reason or another. We got to meet him. But just one of those guys with a presence, right? Just an amazing presence. And, you know, there's the Brian Song film, too, that is another one that will live forever as sports movie that he's a part of. So an iconic figure, for sure, in Gale Sayers.
James Caan, Billy Dee Williams.
Yep.
See, that's how I learned about Gale Sayers, because
right.
clearly he was way before my time. But I saw my dad showed me Brian Song when I was young. I mean, we watched that together, and that's kind of how I learned, you know, who Gale Sayers was. And then as I got older and into sports, obviously, you know, learned the history and have seen old games and clips and things like that. So really, really sad news out of the football world.
Yeah, 77.
Another, I know you guys probably didn't see this, but for the wrestling fans out there, Road Warrior Animal passed away.
Oh, wow.
Today. Yeah.
Even I know that.
Yeah, 60 years old.
Oh, wow.
So he joined, and that's Joe Laurinaitis, and his son played in the NFL, played at Ohio State, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Great right. Absolutely.
Yeah, so he passed away at the age of 60, and his tag team partner, Hawk, had died probably 10, 15 years ago, way too young, but yeah. So sad news with
wow.
Gale Sayers and Road Warrior Animal. I actually met Animal last year. They had a NWA 70 event out at the fairgrounds. It was one of the last wrestling events at the old sports arena at the fairgrounds, and he was there. Very nice guy.
What happened? I didn't see. Well, he was only, what, 60, right?
Yeah, yeah. And he literally yesterday tweeted happy anniversary to his wife, and that was his last tweet.
Oh, man.
So I don't. He died Tuesday night of natural causes.
Man.
So I don't know.
Way too soon. Yeah, even I remember the Road Warriors, man.
Oh, yeah.
They were kind of a big deal.
Rush. Yeah, they were awesome. They were so good back. They were still pretty big when I got into wrestling when I was young. But, you know, watching some of their old matches from, you know, the 80s and early 90s and – and they were fun. They were one of the best.
Well, we have really started on a very somber note, but we wanted to at least pass that along quickly before we learn a little bit about the Vols' opponent on Saturday. Nice comeback. I mean, the Denver Nuggets, if you have counted them dead in these playoffs, you've been wrong a lot, and you probably shouldn't count them down and out. I still don't think they're going to win this series, but everybody was already pronouncing them dead yet again. They were down 2-0 in the series, and they came right back and took game three, so now it's 2-1. They're a scrappy bunch, man. They will not go away.
They are. You can tell it's a little bit like the little brother, you know, battling back against the big brother, that they're at a disadvantage. They don't quite have the horses, but you have to admire the spunk. And it was an interesting game last night. It was, you know, they really – poured it on and played a great third quarter, the Nuggets. They go up by 20 early in the fourth quarter, and the Lakers come screaming back in a hurry. And just like the snap of your fingers, it's down to three. And you're thinking, oh boy, this could be the meltdown, and this is the gateway to the sweep. This thing's over. But they recovered. They hung in there. It was fun to watch. They hit a point in the game where all of a sudden, I think the Lakers were so gassed coming back that they had nothing left in the tank. But Denver couldn't hit a shot either. There was probably a couple minutes where nobody scored. But that helped Denver kind of settle in, and then they went to work. You continue to admire, the guys that Denver has put together here, because they really are not household names. But I hope that the NBA gets another couple of stars out of it.
Jamal Murray's a star. So is Jokic.
They're definitely stars. The question is now, are they as much name recognizable as a star should be in the NBA? Mm-hmm. Right? I think before the playoffs started, the answer was no. But you cannot ignore what those two in particular are doing.
They're fantastic. They are. They are truly fantastic to watch. It's been cool because the NBA has had now two teams, the last 2 years, get in the conference final in the West that, are not supposed to be there, right, in Portland last year and Denver this year. So that good for the NBA. I think too much has been chalk over the years, as we know. It's just been few less upsets than most sports. But getting Denver in this year and Portland in last year has helped that, and maybe that can continue. By the way, Billy Donovan is staying in the NBA ranks after being out at Oklahoma City. He's going to Chicago.
Yeah, he can go to Geno's East in Chicago.
He can go to Geno's East, and I bet he will.
That's a good hire for them.
Yeah,
it's
a great hire for them, but is it a good spot for him?
Yeah,
well, we'll find out. It's going to take time. They're not very good.
A quick thought on that. They make the coaching hire for him, and we know what he can do in college and in the NBA. Do you think that the pressure, in number one, do they care? But is the pressure on them after the Last Dance and everybody saw how much they screwed everything up for them to finally go after all these years? All right, maybe we should get this right.
You mean
I'm asking for the
last 20 years?
Right. Asking for them to make sense, but bear with me on that.
I think we're a little bit past all that.
Years.
I was going to say, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
right, but they haven't been right since then.
Yeah, I don't think this hire was about the Last Dance. I think it's about the last 25 years they've been crap for the most part.
Right.
I mean, I think that's what it is.
Just reminded everybody of what good looked like, so you want to get back there.
I mean, I see what
they're
you're
pretty
saying,
far away.
What they have right now is not fixable.
No. By a coach.
Term. Yeah.
They better get a whole lot of players because they seem pretty far away from being relevant in the East, don't we think?
Yes.
Or in the NBA landscape, period.
The hope is that the East is not as deep, although it might change with Brooklyn loading up the way they are. That's going to be an interesting team to watch, and you've got Giannis out there still.
Is Giannis going to stay in Milwaukee?
Philadelphia hasn't maximized. The East is a little more wide open,
yeah,
right?
True. No doubt. And there could be some of these big names could go. Maybe Chicago could land them. I mean, that would go to what you're talking about,
yeah,
Chase. I mean, it's got to start somewhere. And so that's a really good hire. But, man, they better start getting a lot better talent because they're just not even close right now. Let's learn a little bit more about the South Carolina Gamecocks. On the other side, we'll do that next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Well, it's finally here, SEC play starting this Saturday. We've been talking about it a lot. Now it's hopefully all going to take place this weekend. Tennessee in Columbia, South Carolina to take on the Gamecocks. It'll be 6:30 kickoff our time. It'll be shown on SEC Network. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, and to learn a little bit more about the opponent for the Vols. Josh Kendall is on the line with us, covers South Carolina.
We know we're
going to
hear that song a lot. There just won't be the big, huge student section going nuts.
True.
Like usually is the case.
Josh, good morning. How you doing?
Good. How are y'all?
Great. What is the attendance Well, what are they going to be operating at on Saturday?
About right at 20,000. Okay. We're going over later today to get a lay of the land and how it's going to work and all, but I think we've sort of seen this at other places. I think this is pretty standard among what we're going to see in the SEC. So they'll have people spread out. They'll have them, you know, stagger their entrance. They'll do the best they can and cross their fingers and hope for the best. It's going to be, I'm going to be really excited to go to a football game on Saturday. I'm also going to be a little sad, I think, because it's just not going to feel like an SEC football game. But we'll take what we can get right now.
Yeah, you've been covering this for a while. And what has it been like to not have, be around the team, be around the locker room, be around the coaches, having to do everything through Zoom and do things the way we've had to do them the last 6+ months, and that'll continue even after a game?
Yeah, well, you certainly don't get the feel you would normally. We don't see a bunch of fall practice. We hardly see any fall practice, frankly. But we do see some. You do get to put your eyes on new people. You do get to see how people come off of injury look. You do get to see, to a very limited degree, who is actually running with the first team. You just get a sense, a little sense of where they are. You don't have any of that this year. Everything is Zoom. Everything is kind of what they tell you, what they choose to let you know. That being said, I never, and I don't think anybody ever has a great grasp on exactly how it's all going to play out, especially for teams that are in this sort of zone that South Carolina and Tennessee are in, not proven commodities really in either direction. So I don't know that, I think that I've got South Carolina finishing 4-6. I think if I had watched every minute of fall practice, I'd probably still have them at 4-6, but it just feels very weird.
We've talked about the Vol situations with kids testing positive and what they've had to go through and shut practices down, shut kids down. How has it been on the South Carolina end?
They are not releasing their numbers, but I think that my understanding is that they've had a fairly good hold on it the whole time. Now, they've had days and stretches where they've had double-digit kids out, but they've never gotten to the point where they had to cancel a scrimmage. I don't think they've ever gotten to the point where they had 30, 40 out. They're okay at the moment, I believe, but everybody in the SEC at every school is holding their breath of every test day. And frankly, I'm not going to be really convinced it's happening until they actually kick the ball off on Saturday night in Williams-Brice. But, South Carolina has had some young players, especially, that they needed to get ready to play, be out. They've had two freshmen who were out for two different 14-day stints because of contact tracing. They didn't identify those two players, but it's hard enough to get ready to play as a freshman when you get every snap in practice. If you miss a month, there's going to be some sloppy play this year. I think we all have to understand that, and I think we probably do.
Yeah. So with that being said, what is something with there's so much unknown, what is something you feel good about, you feel confident, you think is going to be a strength for the South Carolina team, and what do you think is a real concern at this point?
Well, I think their defensive line, despite losing Javon Kinlaw, is going to be a strength. I think they've got depth at defensive tackle. I think they've got a couple of underrated ends, or at least unknown ends, in J.J. Enagbare and Aaron Sterling. I think both of those guys are solid football players. They've got a five-star named Jordan Birch, who's a true freshman, who will get some snaps. I think he's a little behind, but he'll come on more and more. So I think their defensive line depth is SEC-worthy, and I think they'll be okay there. I think their cornerbacks, J.C. Horn and Israel Mukuyama, are good, have a chance to be great. And then the question mark is every position on offense, essentially. Marshawn Lloyd, who's the four-star freshman, DeMatha Kidd, who everybody in the country wanted, immediately showed up here and looked like the starting tailback from day one of the spring. He tore his ACL on day two of the spring. So the guy that I think they were going to stack their offense on top of is no longer available. They're unproven at wide receiver. They're unproven at running back. They've got the Colorado State transfer, Colin Hill, coming in to play quarterback. People are worried about – some people are worried about that. I think the kid's going to be their best offensive player. I think that's where their offense is right now. They've just got so much to prove on that side of the ball.
I know it's premature. A lot of people would say it's premature to be asking this. They haven't even played a game, but the lay of the land in the SEC. That's not how – it may not work that way in other places, but in the SEC, that's how it works. I don't know how you feel about this, covering this team, and kind of what's been the chatter, but what are the real expectations, and is there real pressure for Will Muschamp, or do you think coaches that have pressure this season are going to get a pass under these circumstances?
I think they get a pass. I think if in non-pandemic times, the before times, or however you want to call them, then this would definitely be a hot seat, make or break type year for Will Muschamp. But all bets are off now. This is an athletic department that at the moment is figuring up that it's going to be about $50 million short on its budget in this fiscal year. I think that there's a very real possibility that they're going to have to eliminate some sports. They've already had some furloughs, some positions that they're not replacing, some pay cuts. There may very well be layoffs in the athletic department. I don't know how you come out of this and then say, oh, well, by the way, we're going to pay $13 million to get rid of a football coach who's done nothing wrong other than not win football games. If there was an off-the-field issue, if there was something else, but there's none of that here. The program is in good health. They're, you know, everything is being handled the right way. They're not going to win a ton of games this year, I don't think. Fans are frustrated. They have every right to be frustrated. But I think if you pay a football coach $13 million to leave in the situation that they're going to be in December, January, February, it's incredibly reckless.
Talking to Josh Kendall, he covers South Carolina for The Athletic. He has some great coverage of this game against Tennessee, the SEC opener coming up on Saturday. Josh, I'm old enough to have done some games on the sideline for Vanderbilt when Mike Bobo was the quarterback for Georgia. He comes in there to help try to set things straight. Maybe set the scene for, I guess, the frustration of South Carolina offensively last year and how it led them to Bobo.
Well, I mean, it's not just last year. It goes back to every year of Will Muschamp's head coaching career going back to Florida. This has been sort of the anchor around his neck, trying to get this figure out. He's tried a bunch of different guys. The last 2 years here, it was Brian McClendon, and it just didn't work. By the end of last year, this was a group, an offense with no confidence, no, you know, just bad, and was not going to get any better. He had no choice but to make a change. I think he was fortunate that Mike Bobo was available when he was making that change. I think that Mike Bobo is a good coach. He's a really good coach. I think he'll improve this offense. I think he's already given it some confidence. He's already made it better. But it's still got to be the players. And I'm not sure he has enough players to make it a lot better. And it's going to need to be a lot better to make a difference in wins and losses. So I think that, you know, maybe this pandemic pause that they get in terms of coaching stability, you know, if Mike Bobo is here again in 2021 and they've done this 12 months and they have Marshawn Lloyd back, et cetera, then they're on to something. So I think they'll be better. I think that it will look better, but they still, I don't know if they have the offensive personnel to be a really good SEC offense or even good.
We're talking to Josh Kendall of The Athletic, previewing the South Carolina Gamecocks. And one thing that we've talked about with Tennessee is some of the familiarity, you already mentioned Mike Bobo, that Jeremy Pruitt has with the staff, Tracy Rocker being another one, the defensive line coach. How much of an impact has he made with South Carolina?
They say good things about him. We haven't had much chance to spend time around him because of all this. They like him, that he's a hard-nosed coach. They like what he's done with the young defensive linemen here in terms of motivating them to play. I do think that he's got some good personnel, so I think that his defensive line will look good. There's no question that Jeremy and Mike go way back. They kind of know each other in and out. That worries Mike to some degree in the sense that he said, you know, you can't chase ghosts. You can't be calling plays against what you think Jeremy's going to do because he did it in practice in 2014 a bunch. You got to see what's in front of you and make those calls. So I think that, you know, that it's an interesting cat and mouse game. I don't want to put too much into it because these guys know each other well enough to know that they've got to change some of their tendencies.
I've asked a lot of people that cover the conference this, so I'll do the same with you. I mean, we know that they had to adjust the schedule because of everything going on. They had to go conference only. But do you feel like that maybe they've opened Pandora's box with an extended SEC schedule, and maybe that's going to be what it looks like moving forward? Not next year per se, but in the near future?
maybe in the near future. I think that there will be people who like this, like parts of this. But I think that in the immediate future coming out of this, what they're going to have to do is stabilize the economics. They're going to have to get their feet back on the ground, and I think that probably means getting seven, eight home games a year. That means, which means getting back to playing these non-conference games where you can pay somebody to come in and pack your stadium and get a win. So I don't see that as I don't think this is the future from now on. I think that there's a lot of work to be done to get their feet back solidly on the ground starting in 2021, and then people will start to revisit it and say, hey, wasn't that fun when they played 10 conference games? You know, knock on wood, I hope everybody gets to play 10 conference games.
Josh, really appreciate the visit. It's going to be fun to watch. Enjoy covering it, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you very much, guys.
All right, that is Josh Kendall from The Athletic. He covers the Gamecocks. 6:30 kickoff Saturday night in Columbia, South Carolina. Vols and Gamecocks, and that game will be shown on SEC Network. We'll come back on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll talk about the Vikings to start the second hour of the program, learn a little bit more about them. They're going to be a desperate team. We'll have Tim Hasselbeck, our weekly chat, with him coming up at high noon. Don't forget, speaking of the Titans, Titans fans, Corner Pub is the place to check out the game with locations in Bellevue, Brentwood, or downtown. Don't miss Nashville's best pregame show, which is ours. And it'll be at the Corner Pub in Bellevue this Sunday. And it'll be from 9:30 until 11:30 a.m. That's leading you up to kickoff between the Vikings and the Titans. Pregame show features Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, the GM, and forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. And that's brought to you by Wholesale Link, powered by RumbleOn.com and Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers.
Love the Corner Pub in Bellevue. That's my spot.
Is that your jam?
Oh yeah, I've spent a lot of time in that place over the years.
Spent more time in the one in Brentwood over the years.
Yeah, I like that one too. And I used to go to the Midtown one all the time. And I know you guys did. You guys did a ton of shows there.
We did a ton of shows in Midtown.
Yeah, that was a good spot. But
which is no longer.
The Bellevue Corner Pub opened, I guess, when I was about 20. So when I turned 21, I sat at the Corner Pub Bellevue with my parents for dinner and had my first legal drink at the Corner Pub in Bellevue. So pretty cool. Good spot.
The old Midtown spot, isn't that like Vanderbilt stuff now?
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't been over that area.
They tore everything down.
Yeah,
was there.
Right.
There's still a brew house.
It's a constant crane, construction, moving, a lot of cones. I don't know what the heck's going on over there sometimes.
What, in downtown? No way.
Well, specifically where the Corner Pub used to be, it's like you don't want to go near there. Like I try to, you know, my kids go to school right around that area, so when I go over there, I'm cutting across, I'm going a different way because it just gets so clustered over there sometimes.
We ended the show yesterday talking about the Titans ticket situation. We know their next home game, they're going to be in Minnesota on Sunday, but the Preds, Michael McCarron, hold on, we'll get to that in just a moment. They're going to be in Minnesota, but then they'll be back here to start the new month against the Steelers. They're going to let close to 7,000 in there, and there's been a lot of feedback. And I'd like to talk to some people that have actually gone through the process because I don't think the process has been very good. I talked to three people yesterday after we got off the air, and It was not good. There was really no positive feedback whatsoever. Everything continues to get pushed now because yesterday was such a disaster. It seems like from the people that I've talked to that the Titans are saying this is Ticketmaster's fault, and I don't understand why Ticketmaster, I mean, this is not that big of a deal, right? They can carry, well, why are they having so many issues? And if I were the Titans, I would be really ticked because it's making the Titans look bad if it indeed is Ticketmaster's fault. And because they're the ones who have partnered up with the league. They're handling all this. They're supposed to be able to handle a heavy workload. And yet, from everybody that I've talked to, and we saw the tweets, I read a tweet yesterday, it's been an absolute disaster for people trying to get tickets to this upcoming season.
Yeah, and that I've talked to some people, too, that are like, well, for the first time in 20 years, I don't have season tickets because of that process. And that's unfortunate. And I'm also seeing that brokers are buying them and then selling them on, you know, the secondary market for ungodly amounts. And that's where I have it. I just wish somebody could step in on that. I have a huge issue, you know, taking advantage of this situation, because people aren't going to pay that and can't pay that type of money to go see their football team because they're jacking up all the prices on the secondary market. But I know we have a couple
people. Well, actually, somebody will, because that's why they do it.
Well, yeah, but, you know, most people can't or won't. Like the ones that have been at the games and the ones that are the diehard fans and they've had tickets for a long time, I mean, they're not going to do that. They're not going to pay. I've seen some, like, $800 tickets on secondary markets, and that's just absolutely ridiculous.
I've long said that I think that the whole operation, of course, this is a unique set of circumstances here. This is a small, you know, point in time. Obviously, you got to change how you think. You got to get by for this year. But I just think, I've been saying it for years, it's time to reshuffle and shake up the entire way they do tickets for the Titans, with the PSLs and all that stuff. There's way too many ticket brokers involved, way too many fans for the other team. Maybe this is the time, because of the unique circumstances, that you take a look at it, and maybe after this season, blow it up and come up with a new system. You can improve a lot of things.
Yep. Chris is on the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. He says he is a day one season ticket holder. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. So have you gone through this?
I have not yet. But real quick, I'll get into why I haven't yet. But, hey, the Chicago Bears are coming. They're going to pay $800 a seat.
Exactly. That's a big factor.
Right.
And that's
Pittsburgh, that's part of what they need to address. That's exactly right.
They'll pay whatever they need to pay.
They've done it since Vanderbilt. Remember, they played at Vanderbilt.
Yes.
The Bears played at Vanderbilt, and they paid high dollar to go to the Vanderbilt stadium. So they will pay it. But no, I'm a season ticket holder from the beginning. We went to Memphis. I won't go through all the details, but my dad started a company. We actually had 26 PSLs. When he passed away, we pared it down to 10, and that's what we have now. And I've been going to games. You guys know me. I've been going to games every single game I can, through the thick and thin, through the 2-14s. Last year, I traveled with the team. I went to Cleveland. I went to Atlanta. I've done everything. My first ticket portal was today at 1:00. I have a neighbor that has two PSLs that he bought 4 years ago when he moved to Nashville. He's got 6 tickets in hand for every single game.
Okay, so let's stop. Let's pause right there just to go through the steps again. You have had, at the beginning, 26 PSL season tickets, 26 PC, yeah. PSLs. You've yeah. trimmed it down over the years to 10, but you've been in since day one. You still haven't had the opportunity to buy tickets, and somebody who said has been a season ticket holder 4 years ago already has their season in hand?
Already has their season in hand. And not just the two PSLs that he bought 4 years ago. He's got 6. And he said, and he goes, blame me or call me out or whatever. He goes, but I can buy 6. I can sell the other 4 and make money and go to the games for free.
Wow. So he's got 2 season tickets, yet he's allowed to buy 6 under these circumstances.
Yes. It was explained to me, because of social distancing, it's the pod system. And the games or the seats are lumped into 6s. It doesn't make sense to me.
Have you been told why you were scheduled today, and yet people already have tickets in hand who just bought season tickets 4 years ago?
No, I've sent an email to my ticket rep, And I got a response back that due to heavy volume, you will be answered in the line that it came in. I don't know when that is, but let's add to it. Today, my portal opens at 1 o'clock. Oh, wait a minute. I got an email this morning saying due to high volumes and blaming it on Ticketmaster, my portal is now moved to tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.
Oh, my goodness.
So
I can't even find the first opportunity
you're going to have from day one season ticket holder, double-digit tickets, is tomorrow morning?
Tomorrow morning. And if anybody wants to doubt it, never mind. I was going to say, Mike, you know, when you go in section 112, right, the interstate side, when you walk in, to the right-hand side, there's that wall that has every single season ticket holder from day one.
And you've always been lower bowl?
We've always been. Well, we had 10 in club level, we had 10 in lower bowl, and we had 6 in the end zone. The 10 we have right now are lower bowl, so we've never lost the lower bowl. We gave up the club level and the end zone seats. Again, my dad passed away, we sold the company, and we just pared down. We didn't need 26 anymore.
Right.
So just so I understand this, you don't even – like they're just going to give you whatever seats are available. You can't even go get your actual seats because of social distancing?
I cannot get my actual seats, no. And I'm hoping to get one or two games, to be honest with you. I don't even know if it's going to be available to get that. From what – again, you know, I'm listening to social media and take it for what it's worth. But it's like how many is going to be left? I know Pittsburgh, the 7,000 will be gone. I'm just looking at the tail end of the season to maybe get a game or two.
Have you picked up the phone and tried to call a rep? Do you have a rep?
I mean, I have her number. I have her number.
Have you called her?
It goes to voicemail.
Goes to voicemail. And so you've you have not talked to anybody, only through just email.
Email. And I haven't got a response. I've only sent an email.
Oh, you've sent an email. I thought you did get a response. Oh, it
no,
was
I
just
I, well, like I got an automatic
an auto response. Okay, an auto response. Okay.
Yeah.
That's
and
not good.
That is
not
heavy.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, this is another thing that dawns on me. Let's take for a moment the execution problems of the system aside and the fairness of it, but let's also look at the big picture. How many fans do you think will be Titans fans when they play the Steelers? If there's such a, I mean, is there anything that prevents somebody from selling it to a Steelers fan? I mean, there's Steelers fans everywhere, right? I'm not saying that they're going to fly in from Pittsburgh necessarily. There might be a few. But do you think there'll still be some people that are Steelers fans that end up getting their hands on these tickets?
In my opinion, if you follow social media and see what people are saying and how they're going to sell them and whatnot, I wouldn't be surprised if it's 60-40 Pittsburgh.
I wouldn't either.
That's ridiculous.
I wouldn't either. I wouldn't be surprised.
And you can't blame that on Ticketmaster. Like that.
No.
That's just they're quick to do that. They're quick to the Titans are quick to blame Ticketmaster for these, you know, for this system. But
well, for a guy that has had tickets since day one, that's
right.
2+ decades, 26 PSLs in club level and lower bowl, and now down to 10, but have kept it 2+ decades, and you can't talk to a rep is beyond. I mean, that it is so inexcusable. I can't even – that makes zero sense to me how you have not spoken to your rep over any of this. And by the way, still haven't had the opportunity to buy tickets yet. And you
no.
It sounds to me like you don't even think – you're not even sure you're going to get tickets.
I don't.
Mm. Jonathan on our text line just sent us a screenshot of tickets on the secondary market for the Steelers game, the cheapest in the lower bowl that he sent – is about $1,300.
Yeah,
$1,300.
I saw yes. $800 yesesterday. I saw $800 yesterday.
Two tickets, $1,300 each.
I know this isn't the right. I know this isn't the right way to think, but I'm going to say it anyway. I hope nobody buys those from the season ticket holders or the brokers that went in and took advantage and get six. I hope they have to actually sell them at a discount. I know it's not going to happen. But if they sold it at a discount, maybe next time this won't happen.
That's mind-blowing. Chris, thank you for lending a little insight into this. I hope you get some tickets. Please follow up with us. I'd like to know how this plays out.
I get my portals 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. I will text you guys or tweet you guys what the outcome is.
All right. Thank you for the phone call.
All righty.
Wow. There's a lot going on right there.
That is chew that up, swallow that, or spit it out.
Well, there's the whole, you know, connecting to the fans, your system, you know, the fairness, the fan relations, all of that part. But then there's also the you're only going to have a certain percentage of people in the stands. You would want 100% or 99% or as close to it as you possibly could to be your fans, right?
Yes.
And that clearly is not going to happen. We already and that has got to be something that they have to be alarmed about right now over there.
Well,
because it should be your most loyal fans that get a chance to sit in those seats. If you're going to, I mean, this is the circumstances. You only have a certain amount of seats. It should be your best fans, your most loyal fans.
Right. Look, I don't know who's to blame, okay? The Titans are blaming Ticketmaster. I'm certainly not taking up for Ticketmaster.
It's the brokers. It's the brokers that took over a long time ago.
I don't know.
They've been controlling those seats for a long time.
And you're probably right, Willie, but here's the deal. When you have a customer like that and you have not bothered to pick up the phone and have any contact with whatsoever, there is no excuse for that in any business setting. Forget an NFL franchise. In any business setting, there is no excuse for that. What the hell is the point of a ticket broker if that's the kind of service you're going to get?
Yeah, and you're an organization that constantly says how thankful you are for the loyal fans and the season ticket holders, and how you want to have all these rallies with your season ticket holders. Yet this is how
it's set up. Auto reply
email?
Are you kidding me?
Because you can't tell me for a second that the NFL, that an organization like the Tennessee Titans can't have a little more control, where they're not sitting there going, oh, blame Ticketmaster. No, you come up with a better system. And I'd be curious to hear what other teams are going through.
I'd love to have
that information.
Yep.
So if anybody's listening on our app that is in another market and is a season ticket holder, 615-737-1025.
Ticketmaster is everywhere.
I know, but
that's the thing. It's like every team has to work with Ticketmaster.
No, not virtually. Right? They are paired with the NFL. They have to go through Ticketmaster.
But
it's
I want to know.
I'm talking about every sport.
We're talking about the NFL.
Every
NFL market has to go through Ticketmaster.
Right.
It's the same process.
100%. That's my point. Is you have to work with Ticketmaster. There are things you can do to assure that your fans get into the seats. And then, of course, you got to have a team of people that make sure that you have communications going well and fan relations going well. Yeah.
I'd love to know, Chase.
I'd love to know, too.
That's
the team.
No,
how
I understand.
It's going with the other markets. I'd love to know.
Willie, I understand Ticketmaster's role in the NFL. I do. But I also understand that the Tennessee Titans are a powerful organization, and if they had their stuff together, that they could have a little more control. I want to know if other teams are going through this or if they have their stuff together and the process is easier. If it's truly Ticketmaster, then okay, I'll blame Ticketmaster.
Well, and the NFL needs to get rid of them. Stop pairing up with them. It's making your league and all your franchises look really bad if this is how they do business.
But you have to make the – it's not Ticketmaster. It's the policy you set with Ticketmaster. There has to be a policy of no resale. You have to know who are your season ticket holders. Who are you offering these tickets to?
Yeah, but it's
and
more,
are they going to resell the tickets?
But really, there is a deeper dive than just the resale. People aren't – he just said his first opportunity – Day one, season is tomorrow morning.
There's clearly
that
a problem
shouldn't
with that.
Be on Ticketmaster.
No,
that should be on the team. The team should say, you know what, you're a day one season ticket holder. Let's make sure Chris is at the top of the list, that he's bought a ton of tickets
for a long time in
the lower bowl. But yet they push him to Thursday.
Right.
Like, that's ridiculous.
So you have two problems, but they are related. And the net result is going to be, A, some disappointed season ticket holders that are loyal fans that want to sit in the seats because they're Titans fans, not because they want to turn the tickets around and sell them and make money back. But two, you're going to have fans from the other team in there. You go back to the Predators years ago and the strict policies that they put in to curtail the Blackhawks fans, Red Wings fans from getting in, right? It was harsh what they did. And there were some season ticket holders for the Predators disappointed that they couldn't turn around and sell two tickets to a Blackhawks game for, you know, $300 each or whatever and make some money back, right? That wasn't an easy pill to swallow for some, but that's what it took to get your fans in there. And the loyal fans appreciated that, right? They didn't want to sit next to Blackhawk fans. So it's one thing for the odd person, hey, I got a cousin that's from Chicago, or I got a cousin who's a Steelers fan that lives here. He's going to come with me. But there are things you can do if you have your act together that, A...
If you have your act together. That,
yes. A, reward your most loyal fans, and B, make sure that those fans are in the seats and not fans from the other team. We know it can be done.
I'm sitting here with you. Go ahead.
I want to get to this phone call. David is on the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. David has been waiting patiently. Welcome in.
Hey, thanks, guys. First off, I bought a season ticket package, or I got the PSL transferred to me from a family member. So I don't know if they look at me as like a new one or if they look at him like, we're all kind of one, and it was when he bought them day one. So he's been a season ticket holder for a long time. And I thought it was a really great process. I got emails from the Titans. I got phone calls from Jake, my rep over there, with voicemails. I was able to get in touch with them, and I was ready to just kind of roll over my season tickets for next year because our due date for our first baby is this Friday. But God bless my wife. She's like, honey, we have to get tickets this year. So I was like, all right, I'll log in and get them. And so she just made sure I set an alarm for 12:58 yesterday so I could log in at 1 o'clock to our Titans profile. I was able to get in. I was 640 people in line, and it took about 30 minutes for that to get down to me. And I just picked my seats for a couple games, as many games as I wanted, and then, you know, we're not going to sell them or anything like that because we're those loyal fans that's kind of our escape from life is just go to the Titans game, and we're super excited about it. So, I mean, I thought it was a really great process, to be honest, and, you know, just to offer a different side of the perspective.
Wow. Well, that's good. See, that's how the system should work.
That's how it should work. Yeah, there should be in fact, that should be the story, that right there. Well, thank you for lending a little insight on the other side of things.
Yeah.
You went in, no problems, 30 minutes, and you got your tickets. Congratulations on the baby, too, by the way. Good luck with everything.
Yeah, thank you. Titans got another fan. Waylon's going to
be right.
He grows up, so yeah.
All right. Thank you, David.
Thanks, guys.
Well, I'm glad David called in because I'm not a season ticket holder, but I'm sitting here and I'm mad for the season ticket holders that are having to go through what Chris went through. And my whole problem with this is I've either listened to you guys or been a part of this show for a very long time, and it seems like year after year after year we are having at some point in the football season, the team is 2-0 right now, yet we're having a conversation about the organization screwing something up. And, okay, it's not all on them. Ticketmaster has their role too. But why does this continue to happen? Why do they continue to have missteps, or however you want to put it? I mean, the fact that I'm glad that something went right, you know, for David, but that's a good story. But the fact that you got a guy like Chris calling in, it's been a day one season ticket holder and can't even try to get tickets, you know, for another day. And then all the other stories that I've been reading about, you know, the problems that people have been having. I mean, it's just ridiculous and it's unacceptable. So I'm mad for them.
Well, I'd love to get more feedback throughout the show of other people's experiences, right? We have one that's been very disappointed and one that's been satisfied. So, I mean, 615-737-1025. I'd love to hear on the text line, you know, if you've tried this process. For me, I'm looking more macro. And I just, if I'm Mike Vrabel, I do not want to come out there if there's, what's the number of fans, 7,000?
Close to 7,000, yes.
Okay, 7,000 fans. I need to see 7,000 Titans fans, other than maybe a speckle of Steelers fans. But
I'm a little concerned
about that. But it's because if you are allowed to resell tickets, you know that there will be Steeler fans that will pay, just like Kentucky fans, just like Tennessee football, they'll pay what they need to pay, right? You can make money. So the policy has to be strict one way or the other, whether it's you can't resell the tickets, period, or, you know, you check with every person. I mean, there's just a way to do it. There's different, and it takes time. You can't just start this process today. That's I think, where they're going to be in trouble. But I would be disappointed if I'm the Titans, and you got 7,000 fans in a 68,000-seat stadium, and they're not all Titans fans? That would be disappointing.
Could be 2-3-0 teams.
It's a big game.
Yeah.
I mean, either way, even if they lose, it's going to be a very important game.
We'll come back. Speaking of that, we'll learn a little bit more about their opponent, the 0-2 Vikings, to kick off the second hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.